Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
This episode is brought to you by AutoSlash, which is a service that continuously and automatically searches for the best car rental rates for your trip, even after you've booked. You can find them at AutoSlash.com. Oh, did I mention it's free? Today, we'll talk about the most underrated attractions and dining options at Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 172 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 172. So it has been a little while since I've done one of these just like solo topic-based episodes, because it's been a lot of trip reports from my own trips and other people's trips. But I wanted to do this one today because on every trip, I find myself pointing things out and saying, that's underrated, and I feel like I need to tell you about those things because you might want to incorporate them into your plans. But before I get into the main topic today, I have some housekeeping things at the beginning that I want to talk about first. As always, I want to remind you to follow on social media. Look up WDW Prep School. I think it's especially fun when I'm at Disney World to follow on Instagram stories, as you have heard on my last trip. But whatever your platform is, please look me up there. I also wanted to mention, in case you didn't already know, that I have an email list, and every Friday I send an email to the list where I talk about the news of the week and I talk about new content that we've published. I often link to new podcast episodes as well, and I would highly recommend being on that list so you don't miss anything. That's also the list that I emailed when Free Dining came out, and you heard about how that went. And many, many, many people said that I was the first person they had heard from. I'm not guaranteeing I'm going to be the first person you're going to hear from all the time, but on Free Dining, I take a particular pride in it because I know that you have to be early on that deal. So anyway, I'm going to link in the show notes to how to sign up for the email list. So I would recommend doing that. Another thing that came up recently, somebody said, they had always called my podcast the WDW Prep School podcast, and so I had to explain the WDW Prep to Go name. And if you are new and did not know, the reason it's called that is because it is portable. So I want you to think about taking this information with you, and you don't necessarily have to listen to it on your computer, although you can because it's on the website. But the idea is that you will take it with you so it's convenient. You can go on a walk, or you can go on a drive, or whatever you want. I tend to listen to podcasts while I am in bed, falling asleep. That's when I like to listen to them because it's a nice transition for my brain from being fully awake to calming down and going to sleep to just listen to something. So make sure that you take advantage of that. If you're a computer listener, take it with you. I recommend using a podcast app on your phone and searching for WDW Prep to Go. And when you hit subscribe, then you will get the episodes earlier than if you just search, because they appear in the directory sooner for subscribers. Anyway, so just in case you did not know that, I wanted to mention it. I also wanted to talk about a couple of news items that have come out recently, just to make sure you get caught up. So minivans have been sort of trickling out to resorts gradually. And at first it was just a couple resorts, and then it was a couple more, and now they are officially available at all Disney World resorts. So I highly recommend downloading the Lyft app if you would like to use that during your trip. And it's $25 no matter where you go at Disney World if you want to use it. As you have heard in other people's trip reports, the before and afters, a lot of people, especially families, have found it to be incredibly valuable because in a pinch, it will get you there on time without having to wait for buses or boats or monorails. So that is a minivan update. Another exciting news item that I just heard about today is that the Disney After Hours event, which is my favorite ticketed event, I think, is going to be available in late June, July, and some dates in August. And if you've never heard of it, the gist of the Disney After Hours event, it's sort of like the Halloween party and Christmas party where you get to stay at Magic Kingdom later. But the main attraction is the rides. They don't have special fireworks. They don't have special, they don't have a special parade. Most of the rides are available and you get to have snacks at kiosks throughout the park. So it's a little bit eerie because it's so quiet without the fireworks and parades and the music and everything. There aren't that many people there. And you just get to go on lots and lots of rides. It's $119, or if you have an annual pass or DVC discount, it's $89, which is a great deal. Getting $30 off to me is a big chunk. And I will be doing it in June. So I have mentioned previously I'll be there end of June. So when it came out today, I booked it immediately because I want to do it. One takeaway from the fact that they're scheduling it this summer is that you could infer that summer is not nearly as busy as it used to be because they do these special events when things aren't as busy. So in the past, this has only been available January, February, early March, a couple days a month. And now it's June, July, and August. So that should tell you how things have really changed over the last few years. Another event that has often only been available when it's not busy is Early Morning Magic. And if you've listened to me in the past, I did that last fall. And that is also available this summer. So things have changed a lot. Fall is a lot busier. Obviously, summer is hot, but it's not nearly as crowded as it used to be. And now they're actually closing Magic Kingdom at 9 p.m. so that this party can take place afterwards. So anyway, I highly recommend it. If you think to yourself, $89 is kind of a lot of money, or $119 is kind of a lot of money, I would challenge you to think about it in terms of how many rides you can get in. I think you're allowed in the park 6 hours with your party ticket versus how many hours you're in the park, because you'll get a lot done. When my son and I did this Disney After Hours, we actually left before it was over because we had done so many rides so many times. So if it's the quantity of rides you're paying for, you definitely get a good bang for your buck. But I have a whole article about it. I will link to it in the show notes if you are considering it for a June, July, August trip. So that is, I think, all the housekeeping stuff that I wanted to mention. As always, I will have a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up. But first, a little break. I want to take a minute here to tell you a little bit more about AutoSlash, because they are the sponsor of today's podcast. As you may know, if you have listened to the podcast for any length of time, I'm relatively new to the world of renting cars. And one of the things I have learned in the last couple of years is about this service, AutoSlash, which is free to sign up for. And the reason it is so handy is that they do a lot of the work for you, so you don't have to constantly keep checking for the best rates. The way that they do that is that they search hundreds of coupons and discount codes for all of the major rental car companies that you would typically use on your trip. And they look for the lowest rate possible and then notify you when they come across something. They can also do things that are your membership affiliations, like Costco, AAA, credit cards, ARP, that kind of thing. And instead of you searching all over the place and constantly checking and comparing, they do all the work for you to find you the lowest rate possible. Best of all, it's free. Find them at autoslash.com. So let's dive into today's main topic. I have divided these into two categories, dining and attractions, and I'm going to go through them and hopefully give you some ideas for your trip. The main criteria for these is that they are usually not crowded, easy to get into, but high quality, in my opinion. So let's start with dining. And the first one on my dining list is The Wave. And this restaurant is located at the Contemporary. Contemporary has lots of great dining options, including Chef Mickey's and California Grill. And I even like their quick service, the Contempo Cafe. So this is, you know, there's a lot of competition for food at the Contemporary, but it is very high quality and very easy to get into. They have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Their niche is that they have locally sourced food. There's a lot of great healthy options. It's not expensive. I like to go there for lunch or dinner and just get an appetizer of crab cakes because that's plenty for a full meal. And it's a great pairing with Magic Kingdom because if you eat here and then you can just walk over to Magic Kingdom before or after. And I really like it. It's fantastic food, low price, good service, and convenient to Magic Kingdom. Number two and three on my list are Epcot World Showcase restaurants. Now, Epcot has a ton of World Showcase restaurants, and I have eaten at all of them except for Monsieur Paul in France, which is a fancy one that I hope to get done in the next year or so. So I'm not going to say these are the best restaurants in all the World Showcase, but they are usually easy to get into and I think have good food. So the first one is Nine Dragons. That's in the China section, and it's a big restaurant, lots of seating, and I have gotten last minute reservations many times. I think it is reasonably priced and I happen to like the food. Chinese isn't my favorite type of Asian food, but I like the food here. I think on my last trip, it was $26 to get an appetizer, which was soup and an entree and dessert, which is a choice of a couple different ice cream flavors. So not bad. And I think it's really good. The other restaurant that I want to recommend is Trattoria Al Forno, which is in the Italy section. Now, Via Napoli is the more popular restaurant in the Italy pavilion, but I think Trattoria is a good option as well because it's easy to get into, fantastic service, great food. I have lingered there for a couple of hours on a hot afternoon and have been there a couple of times. And I really think it's a good option, especially if you need something that day. It usually is available. Unless you're with runners who are carb loading for a race, there usually is easy availability to get in there. So those are my two World Showcase Epcot underrated dining options. The fourth restaurant on my list is Skipper Canteen, which is at Magic Kingdom. Now, I can't remember how long it's been since I talked about it. It is my favorite table service because I really like a more interesting menu, but also the service and theming and prices I think are really great. So it's Jungle Cruise themed. Your servers are, you know, skippers, and depending on, you know, the server, they may be more into it than others. But I have just always really liked the options. They have great drink options as well, including Guarana. Is that what it's called? You can get that at Club Cool at Epcot for free, but they serve it on the menu at Skipper Canteen. So if you have a more adventurous palate, really enjoy the theming. It's all encompassing there. This is often a easy, high-quality place to get into, Skipper Canteen at Magic Kingdom. And finally on the list is Planet Hollywood in Disney Springs. Now, I have to say, I've been at Disney Springs every trip for the last several trips, and because I'm always trying new restaurants, and there's lots of good ones. And I'm not going to say Planet Hollywood is my favorite, but I love it because Planet Hollywood is a little... Like I like more interesting foods than Planet Hollywood, but I think Planet Hollywood is a good crowd pleaser. Like I think almost anyone could really love Planet Hollywood. I would go there and order a sample. I can't remember what they call it, but it's a sampler of several appetizers because they have really good appetizers. The sampler is so big that it would feed a table, and then get one of their drinks, and it would be a very enjoyable time. It's really fun. They have a gigantic screen that they project things on with music that everyone can, you know, sing along to or dance or whatever. And it's just fun and good. And I really like it. It's often very easy to get into. If you can't find a reservation there through the Disney dining system, go to Open Table. But usually fairly easy. And a crowd pleaser. So those are my dining suggestions. Let's move to underrated attractions. First, we're going to start at Epcot with Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival. This is, you walk into the theater, you have 3D glasses on, and they show three different movie shorts, and they're really good ones. And every time I've been there, the kids have enjoyed it. Everyone has really liked it. It's just charming. All the movie shorts that they show are charming. They switch it up every once in a while, but it's located next to Figment in Epcot, and it's just a great midday be in the air conditioning, you know, don't wait in line, enjoy the attraction sort of thing. And I think a lot of people overlook it because they don't know what it is. It doesn't sound so appealing. It's not a ride, but I highly recommend it. It's my favorite thing that's ever been in that space. It's been a few different things over the years, and it happens to be my favorite. So if you're looking for a do anytime sort of thing, I would recommend that at Epcot. Numbers 2 and 3 on my attraction list are at Magic Kingdom. The first of those two is PhilharMagic. It does appear on our touring plan, so hopefully a lot of people are planning on going. But it's a 3D movie, again, at Magic Kingdom in Fantasyland. It's one of the Fantasyland attractions you usually don't have to wait for, almost never. But it's just charming. It features, talks about the music, and most families tend to really enjoy it. And I think it's a thing not to be missed, especially in the afternoon when the parks get busier and you need to find those attractions that don't have long lines. Third, I am going to suggest that you meet Tiana. Now, there are lots of great characters to meet at Disney World, and I'm relatively new to the character thing because my kids were not into them, and so it was just never part of our plans, but it has become part of my plans the last couple of years, and I've been pleasantly surprised how enjoyable it is to meet characters. But Tiana tops the list, I think. She happens to be my daughter's favorite princess. And when my daughter did meet her back in December, she cried. Tiana is incredible. And she is in Princess Fairy Tale Hall at Magic Kingdom. And I just think the experience there is fantastic. So if you're even remotely interested in Tiana, I would make time to go meet her. Not only is she beautiful, her dress beautiful, but the way that she talks to you is so charming. It is, you feel like you're in the movie. So Tiana is highly recommended. There are lots of great characters, but Tiana is the one that I felt like needed to be mentioned the most. Number 4 on my list is the Frozen sing-along at Hollywood Studios. I think a lot of people think, oh no, not another Frozen thing, or I'm not really into princesses, but Frozen sing-along is entertaining for almost everyone. My Disney World experience now is not about enjoying the attractions as much. It's about watching other people's enjoyment of the attractions. Like, other people's joy is my joy. And so I'm always watching other people to see how they react and see if, you know, they are enjoying it. And my observation at Frozen Sing Along is that people go in, particularly parents who are just worn out, and they think, oh no, here we go. And they end up laughing and loving it. And so I highly recommend it at Hollywood Studios. Again, it's inside and it is a really great show. Now, it can get busy. Unlike the other things on this list, which really don't always have lines, Frozen Sing Along does often have a line. You can get a fast pass for it if you want, or you can just do standby. But it's a really big theater. Depending on the time of year that you go, it may or may not be difficult to get in, but there's several show times throughout the day, so I would give it a try and see if you can fit it into your plans. The fifth thing on my list, and the last, is the Finding Nemo the musical at Animal Kingdom. Now, Festival of the Lion King show at Animal Kingdom is the more well-known of the two, and frankly, I would recommend Festival of the Lion King for anybody. No matter if you're into shows or not, it seems to be a crowd pleaser for everyone. However, Finding Nemo the musical is an incredible gem, in my opinion. Admittedly, we have a very show-loving family, so we always are into the shows, particularly ones where the entertainment is live. You know, there's no lip-syncing at this show. People are really singing. Finding Nemo the movie, as you may recall, was not a musical. So when they put on this show, they had to have music written for it, which is why it's called Finding Nemo the musical. And Bobby and Kristen Lopez are the ones who did the music. They are also the ones who did the music for Frozen and Coco and Book of Mormon, Avenue Q, etc. So it's a very good show. It does have a fast pass available. I don't tend to recommend the fast pass for it because people with fast passes often sit up close, and I think sitting back and in the middle of that theater is actually the better spot. Usually not too difficult to get in. Once again, there's several show times usually in the afternoon, so I would just pick one of those and see if you can slip that into your schedule. So that wraps up my list of underrated things. I'm sure I will think of more things on every trip. I tend to keep adding to the list, but I'll keep you posted as I come up with more. I did want to share a quick tip of the day, as always, before we wrap it up. And this was emailed in by Brandon M. I won't do the last name in case that's a problem. But this person, Brandon, says, I may have already sent you this, but I can't remember. But I purchased a make-your-own tattoo sheet and made temporary tattoos for my three kids. We got lots of compliments, and it set me at ease to know that a cast member could easily track me down if a kid got separated. Thank goodness we never had to use them, but it was nice to know we were prepared. And the attached picture of the temporary tattoos, first of all, has a Mickey decor at the top. Then it has the child's name under that, and it says my mom's phone number is, you know, fill in the blank. And so these were put on the kids, I guess, every day. And if they were lost, then they would have very quick access to give a parent a call. When my kids were little, I did the kiosks at the pet store where you can print out dog tags. And I would print out similar information on a dog tag and tie it to a shoelace on the shoe. But there's lots of different ways to do it. But the tattoo is a creative idea. So I think that'll wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, as always, you can check the show notes, or you can go to wwwprepschool.com, click podcast at the top, and look for episode 172. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.